Good morning and welcome. Over the past several weeks, our gospel accounts have been from John chapter 6. And today we arrive at the conclusion of this particular gospel chapter, a chapter that is also commonly referred to as the Bread of Life discourse. It began with crowds of people coming in search of Jesus because of the various healings that they had witnessed and heard of Jesus performing. When Jesus had seen the crowds approaching him, he had presented to those closest to him the challenge of where could they get enough food to feed the crowd of well over 5,000, a challenge that overwhelmed the 12 disciples, but a challenge that Jesus himself knew how he would overcome it by performing a miracle that would involve just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. When a crowd realized the miracle that had occurred amongst them, they then quickly desired to make Jesus their king. But before the crowd could fulfill this desire of theirs, Jesus had withdrawn from the company of the people. Eventually, the people catch up with Jesus, and he begins to teach them about the bread of life, about the bread of God that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. The people, in turn, ask Jesus to give them this bread, and not on just one occasion, but to give it to them, this bread, always. Jesus explains to them that it is he who is this bread of life that has come down from heaven. At this point, the people start to feel a little uncomfortable with what Jesus is beginning to explain to them. The more the people struggle to understand this teaching of his, then the clearer and more direct Jesus gets with his words, until finally Jesus proclaims that whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Last Sunday, Father Brian further clarified for us that the word eat, as used here in the gospel, is better translated as meaning to gnaw upon. In other words, there is no confusion, there is no misinterpretation of what exactly Jesus means when he says to the people and to us that whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. This Eucharistic teaching of our Lord, this is what so many of Jesus' followers are struggling with. This is why they respond, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Jesus responds to them by asking, "What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before?" What Jesus is asking the people is, if another miracle would help them to believe in his words. He has already performed plenty of miracles, from healing the sick to feeding thousands with the meal of a poor man. So how many more miracles is it going to take? How many more physical proofs do the people need before they are willing to accept and to believe the words that Jesus speaks regarding the true bread of life that has come down from heaven? The response of the people, of those who once considered themselves to be his followers, is to walk away from him, to leave him, to return back to their old ways of life, to return back to living lives that are lived separated from Jesus. What has always stuck out to me about our gospel account is that Jesus doesn't chase after the people. He doesn't change his teaching to better suit the demands of the people, nor does Jesus force them to continue to follow him or to continue to believe in him. He also does not smite them. He does not curse them. He does not end their lives. I believe that Jesus' reaction to the people as they leave him believe this speaks to God's merciful love for us as he awaits our return to him. God will not force us to follow him, nor will he force us to love him. He will, however, give us the grace we need to help us in choosing to come to him and of trying to live a life in union with him. The grace that he gives to us, it is given to us as a gift for us to either accept it or to reject it. The decision to become one with him through our reception of his body and blood, that is a decision that only we can make on our own. The Bread of Life discourse can be viewed as a difficult teaching because in many ways, Jesus calls us into an intense and intimate relationship with him through our reception of his body in the Blessed Sacrament. The relationship that he desires to have with us is a relationship that so many people struggle to understand. It is a relationship that has at its very center the belief that it is his body and blood that we receive in the Eucharist. Our belief in a real presence of our Lord in a Blessed Sacrament is first and foremost a mystery that is made possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is also a belief that we as Catholics are so oftentimes mocked for and ridiculed for believing it. For instance, have you ever heard of the term hocus pocus? Nowadays, it is oftentimes used by young aspiring magicians who will recite it as a part of some illusion or trick that they are trying to perform before their friends and family. It seems like an innocent term. Yet this term was once so oftentimes used by many non-believers in our very country as a way of mocking and ridiculing our belief in a Blessed Sacrament. Hocus pocus is a mocking pronunciation of the Latin phrase hoc est corpus, which means in Latin, this is the body. There are many in this world who struggle to accept this belief, to accept the Eucharistic teachings of our Lord as found in John chapter 6. Another teaching that the world struggles with is the idea of an authentic Christian marriage as described by St. Paul to the Ephesians. The idea that a husband and a wife can commit themselves to one another in such an intense, intimate, and loving manner, this too is a struggle and a challenge for the world to accept. How many husbands have been teased and ridiculed by coworkers, by friends, when they decline to go out to happy hour for a few beers, instead preferring to go home to be with their wives? Or how oftentimes might a wife be teased for unselfishly giving of her time and energy for the sake of her family, instead of choosing to put her own needs first? St. Paul encourages wives to be subordinate to their husbands, just as the church is to be subordinate to the Lord. St. Paul also encourages husbands to love their wives to such a degree that a husband would be willing to lay down his life for his wife. Just like the love that Jesus shows to us, his church, by laying down his life for us. It is this type of marriage which St. Paul encourages a husband and wife to live out in this world, so as to serve as an example of the intimate bond and intense love that is to exist between the church and Jesus. A relationship that we choose to freely enter into with our Lord that has at its very core our faithful reception of his body and blood in the Eucharist. Joshua had asked the Israelites, "Decide today whom you will serve. Will it be the false gods of Egypt or the one true God, our Lord? Joshua's question still applies to us this very day. Whom will we choose to serve and to follow? Will it be the false gods of this world, such as greed, pride, selfishness? Or will it be the one true God, our Lord, who St. Peter proclaimed has the words of eternal life and who truly is the Holy One of God? This was the challenge that the people were faced with at the end of John chapter 6, and they chose to walk away. What will we choose? Let our prayer this day and every day be that our Heavenly Father gives us that grace and courage to always profess Jesus as the Holy One of God, and may we always live a life that is a reflection of the one whom we receive through the most blessed sacrament of our Lord's body and blood.